Psychologists today recognize the importance of having a positive sense of self-worth.
But what does this mean? And how can you know if you suffer from low self-esteem?
Join us on today's episode of Wake Up With Hope as we dive deeper into this important topic.
Plus, we also have an encouraging devotional message from Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 and a special prayer segment with the Let's Pray team.
Join us.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope.
Friends, we're so happy to see you this morning. Today is World Pneumonia Day, dedicated to spread awareness among people to understand the need to stand together and demand action in the fight against this disease.
Pneumonia is one of the world's biggest infectious killers of both children and adults. In fact, it kills more children than AIDS, measles, and malaria combined.
And this all has to do with the lack of oxygen that occurs in the lungs during a pneumonia infection. As we approach colder weather and the increase of respiratory ailments, we encourage you to learn more on how you can protect your lungs and to find a way to help those who are currently battling pneumonia.
You know, it's a beautiful thing to know that in our own struggles and battles in life, Jesus longs to help us. And we can't wait to share the love of Jesus with you this morning. So let's get started by taking a look back at what took place on this very day in history.
On this day in history in 1799, American astronomer Andrew Ellicott observed the Leonids meteor shower from a ship in the Florida Keys. He recorded that the whole heaven appeared illuminated with skyrockets and expected some to strike the vessel. The meteors continued until daylight. This was the first known record of a meteor shower in North America. These meteor showers, known as the Leonids, are an annual event that is magnified approximately every 33 years or so by the Temple-Tuttle comet. When this happens, several thousand meteors per hour can light up the sky on a clear night.
Wow, what a spectacular event. You know, friends, when Jesus comes again, the Bible likens it to a meteor shower type of event. In fact, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, it says that when Jesus comes, he will bring all of the holy angels with him. That's incredible. Elsewhere in the Bible, such as Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, it says that the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Can you imagine that glorious day when the sky is filled with an innumerable amount of bright, shining angels? You know, Jesus will be in the center of them, ready to take his followers to heaven. You know, honey, I can't wait for that day.
I can't either. Friends, what a beautiful picture that is. We cannot wait to be there, and we want you to be there too. Well, psychologists today recognize the importance of having a positive sense of self-worth. But what does that mean, and how can you know if you suffer from low self-esteem? Let's dig deeper now on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
Do you know the one thing everyone in the world struggles with? It's something that bothers all of us, and we may not even know it. Have you ever felt that you were not good enough? Have you ever been plagued by self-doubt? Are you constantly putting yourself down? Do you feel defeated by events in your life? Do you constantly compare yourself to others and come up wanting? Do you feel inferior to your friends and family? Do you constantly replay regrets in your life? Do you have a negative self-image of your body? Do you find yourself thinking, I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, I'm not good enough, I'm not good at that, and feel that no matter how hard you try, it's still beyond your reach? Well, you are not alone. We all have these feelings at some time in our lives. That's why a positive self-esteem is so very important. It can determine our approach to life. It defines our sense of self-worth and personal value. But What does this really mean? Well, it basically is confidence in one's own worth or abilities. Are you happy being you? Your appearance, emotions, relationships, beliefs, behaviors, goals, and purpose in life. Now, everyone goes through periods of low self-esteem when they feel overwhelmed with life and question their own value and self-worth. It's a constant battle in life, but what is important and what really counts is whether you can work through these negative feelings and find a way to deal with them. So, what are some of the signs that you may be suffering from low self-esteem? Some of the habits you might develop for coping with low self-esteem and anxiety could be nail biting, pulling hair out, obsessive behaviors, constantly saying negative things, or even self-harm and using drugs. Then there are destructive feelings of unworthiness that overwhelm us when they replay in our minds. We can worry too much about what has happened in the past or what might happen in the future, and so let it destroy the present. It can be hard to appreciate what is here and now. We can look for ways to spend our time building a better you, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Remember, it's our choice how we think, how we act, and how we respond to every situation. Now, here's something well worth thinking about. Did you know that there was war in heaven? It's almost inconceivable to think it could happen. It was a battle between God and the beautiful leading angel Lucifer, who wanted to be God. The Bible records how Lucifer was thrown out of heaven and now directs his attention to deceiving and destroying the people on earth. It's a war for allegiance and control of the minds of every man, woman, and child on planet earth. And creating low self-esteem is one of the most effective tactics that Satan uses to tear you down. His greatest desire is to damage and destroy our lives. And he uses many nefarious ways to make us feel inadequate, unworthy, undervalued, and separated from God's love. Whereas God wants us to feel loved. He wants us to feel special. One of the best ways to overcome low self-esteem is to read the Bible and start believing what God says about you. Do you know what God thinks about you? Well, here it is. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God also says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When you don't feel like you're good enough, when you are feeling low, remember these five things. I'm lovable. I'm valuable. I am significant. I am forgivable. And I am capable. Positive self-esteem is not something you have and then it is with you always. Remember, your thoughts determine your feelings and your feelings determine your actions. It's something you have to work on every day of your life. Why not try going on a journey with God and let Him show you your real worth? You are so special to God that He was willing to give up everything just for you. Now, if you are suffering from low self-esteem, there are a lot of professionals out there who are able to help you, like Lifeline and Beyond Blue. But there are a few general suggestions on developing positive self-esteem. One, recognize that when you are feeling poorly about yourself, you can do something about it. Two, look for ways to improve what you can change in your life. Three, Take responsibility for your choices. Small choices can have a big impact. 4, don't dwell on regrets. The past can't be changed. Look to creating a more positive future. 5, have a purpose in your life that gives meaning to your life. And 6, have a belief in God, read the Bible, and stay true to following His moral code.
1 John 5:14 encourages us to pray, as it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." He hears us, friends. Right now, the Let's Pray team joins us to lead us in prayer. Let's pray.
Hello, it is time to pray together once again, and I'm hoping that this time is an encouragement for you. Do you know, the Word of God says in Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." I wonder, do you know someone who's feeling that way? Maybe it's you today. I hope it's not. But you know, Jesus knows exactly what to do in these moments. He is so close, especially in those times when we can't quite feel it. He never leaves us or forsakes us. So we're going to pray about that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Jesus, that You are merciful and powerful, that You are mighty but tenderhearted, that, Father, You moved swiftly on behalf of Your children. And Lord, sometimes You just stand with us and wait. Whatever is needed for today, for each person in this community, Lord, that is feeling a heaviness or a weightiness, Lord, maybe their emotions just, they don't seem settled or peaceful today, Lord. Maybe they are brokenhearted or crushed in spirit, Jesus. My prayer is in those moments that what comes out of the crushing is sweet. But Father, if it's not, I pray, Lord, that there would be no shame, because there's now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do we struggle when we're crushed? Do we struggle when we're brokenhearted? Yeah, we do. But I pray, Jesus, that they would be encouraged to know that You're not mad at them for having a hard time. You're not impatient with them if their struggle isn't perfect. But Jesus, that You are close to the brokenhearted, and that You save those who are crushed in spirit, not just those who do it right. And Father, I feel like somebody needs to know that today, that whatever the struggle is that we go through, Lord, You see us, You have compassion for us. Lord, I'm reminded that Martha and Mary, they questioned and they wondered where You were when Lazarus died, and there were parts of their struggle and their pain that they didn't understand. But You weren't impatient with them. You reminded them. And then You brought their brother back. So Jesus, even if the folks in our community, Lord, who are struggling today, cannot quite see the light at the end of the tunnel, the promise is resurrection life, that You have come to give us life and life more abundant, Jesus. And if we cannot see it today, I pray that we would remember the promise. I pray, Lord, that we would remember that You're moving on our behalf, especially when we cannot see it, that it's the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But You have come, Father, so that we might have life and life more abundant, that You are truly near to the brokenhearted, right next to us. And Father, in many ways, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, in us. You can't get closer. Thank You for saving those who are crushed in spirit, Heavenly Father. Sometimes it feels like we can't even pick ourselves up off the floor, Father. And You're not annoyed by that. You get it. You know what it feels like to be crushed in spirit, to be pressed to the point of exhaustion and even death. Lord, You get it. And I'm so grateful, Jesus, because this is what gives us our courage. When it's time, Father, I pray that You would indeed give us the courage to take Your hand that You've outstretched to us and stand up again and walk. I thank you, Father, that you are patient and kind and long-suffering. And I praise you, Father, that you are our hope and our help, and that you are everything we need. Whether we're sitting down, we're standing up, we're walking, or whether we can't even get out of bed, Father, you're not going to abandon us. And I thank you, Jesus, today that you are our victory, but you sustain us all the way from the point of breaking to the point of walking in victory and knowing it and being able to encourage others with the same comfort that you have given us. We praise you, Lord, for each stage of the process and each way that you are covering and guiding and saving us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. I pray that you are blessed and encouraged, and we will see you next time we get to pray together.
Are you enjoying today's show? Well, inspire someone else and share us with a friend. Or you can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more inspiring content.
And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with us there.
In just a few moments, Jesus 101 will join us to share a faith-filled devotional. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We're so happy you decided to stick around.
It's now time for a devotional thought. Jesus 101 joins us now to share a most encouraging message.
Hello, everyone. Elizabeth Talbot here from the Jesus 101 Biblical Institute. I want to start by telling you a story of something I did when I was 5 years old. I was in kindergarten, and the teacher gave us a bird that we needed to glue together, put the wings on and stuff. And I took it home, and I wanted to be excellent, so I worked really hard on it. When I came back the next day, the teacher said, "I'm sorry, that bird is glued backwards." I felt so bad, and I didn't know what to do, and something rose up in me. I waited for the break time when everybody left the classroom. We were 41 kids in that kindergarten class. And when it was empty, the whole classroom, I went to the seat next to me and I took their bird and I broke it into many pieces, hoping that that would make me feel better, but it didn't. You know, if I wasn't going to have my bird right, nobody was going to have the bird right. And I tried the next seat and I broke their bird. And then I went to the other one, and will you believe me if I tell you that I broke all 41 birds into pieces that day? When the teacher came back, "What happened here?" she says. And I tried to explain, you know, that I was trying to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But, you know, at 5 years old, I didn't know that that's insanity. So I had tried so hard to feel better, and I wasn't. She didn't have pity on me. She sent me home to make 41 birds, which I did for 2 whole weeks. But something happened during those 2 weeks. My mother sat next to me all 2 weeks. And it was my first encounter with a love that is greater than my failures. Now I know the verse that says, "Where sin abounded, grace abounded even more." But I didn't then. But my mother's love was greater than my failures. And that's how I learned about God's love. And today I want to talk to you about that, that you are loved no matter how dark your detour has been or how great your sin. Jesus told a story that we're going to talk about today. And he told it to some people that were complaining that he received everybody and that he seemed to love everybody. And Jesus told this story because, in fact, he did love everybody. So come with me to Luke chapter 15. We have 3 stories in that chapter that Jesus told in that at that moment when they were complaining that he loved and received everybody. But I'm going to talk to you about the third one. And it starts with an ungrateful son, chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, Jesus said, "A man had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided the wealth between them." It's very interesting because you never did ask for your inheritance ahead of time. As a matter of fact, if you did ask for your inheritance, you were actually saying to your father, "I wish you were dead." The father still divided the inheritance. And right after he got the money, We are told on verse 13, and not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country. That was his motive. He wanted freedom from his father. He didn't want to have anything to do with him. Well, we are told he wasted his money in all kinds of things. Later on, we're even told that he wasted it in prostitutes. But then he gets hit with two simultaneous disasters. He runs out of money, his inheritance money, and there's a famine in the land. So he starts to be in want, in need. He hires himself out, if you continue the story in Luke 15, he hires himself out to take care of pigs. And then he wishes he could eat what the pigs are eating. And then all of a sudden, there's a pivot in the story. He comes to his senses. Verse 17 starts, Luke 15, verse 17 says, when he came to his senses, that's the pivot, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? I'm dying here with hunger. And then he makes a decision. I will go up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. He says, I'm going to ask my dad for a job. All his employees are doing so good. They have food, and here I am starving. And of course, I don't deserve to be his son anymore. I have broken more than 41 birds. And he made a little speech. Okay, please make me your employee. But he didn't understand a father's love or a mother's love. The love of a parent is greater than our failures. And so when he comes back with his little speech ready, he finds that his father has a response that he wasn't expecting. Verse 20, he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. You see, his father had been looking for him every single day since he got lost in that distant country. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. Look at all the responses of his father. He saw him, felt compassion for him, run to him, embraced him, and kissed him. All these things the father did, saw him and run to him. But that wasn't the only thing. He was feeling compassion. He embraced him. He kissed him. And the Greek word there is like he kissed him a lot. He continuously kissed him like, finally, my son is here. And then he gave him three gifts. The son tried to say, Father, I'm not worthy to be called. Shh. Wait, I have something for you, says the father. And he starts giving orders. Verse 22, the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. These are symbolic gifts that are very, very important. I have them here. The sandals, you see, were only for the children of the house. The slaves and the employees didn't wear sandals. So the fact that he's getting sandals means you are not going to be a second-class citizen in this family. You are being received as a son. You are my son. The robe usually meant the best robe was the father's robe. It was cover him, cover his shame. All that he went through, cover it with the robe. And the third one, the ring, usually a signet ring. I have a signet ring here. This is a more modern one. This is from Queen Elizabeth. But you would have a signet ring to sign papers for the family. So you would put it in wax and the drawing or the letter would stay there, and it meant authority to do business. And this son that has taken a detour, broken more than 41 birds, gets the sandals, your son, you are covered, and you get authority to sign for the family. You see, God's love for us is much greater than our failures. He is waiting passionately for you, no matter how dark your detour, how great your sin may have been. Yeah, his love surpasses our failures. As a matter of fact, Jesus at the cross paid for all your mistakes. That's why our logo has a heart with a cross in it, because his love made him die in your place so that you could live free from shame and guilt. So remember this, God's love is greater than your failure. You are loved God wants you back. So remember, you are loved in a way that surpasses your failure. So believe it, embrace it, and accept his sacrifice because you are loved.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for those inspiring words.
And friends, thank you for spending this morning with us. If you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And please join us tomorrow morning. We'll have another inspiring devotional, music by Lifelong Worship, an inspiring Masterstroke episode, and so much more. So be sure to tune in.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides and discover what the Bible has to say about a variety of different topics.
Yes, that's right, friends. It's hope.study for your free Bible study guides. Check out the website as well. We are sure you'll be blessed.
You know, here at Wake Up with Hope, we are passionate about filling your life with the hope that is found in Jesus. Well, we have to go for now, but before we do, we have a Bible promise to share with you. And it says,
the poor will eat and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. Psalm 22:26.
And what a comforting promise, friends, to know that God has promised that we will be satisfied and that he will take care of us. You know, that's a beautiful promise. Don't forget to praise him, for he is so good.
Amen. Thank you so much for spending time with us this morning, and we wish you a happy Tuesday.
Let's pray together. Lord, our hearts are so full of joy and hope. We thank you for the rich content that we were able to receive today. And Lord, what we pray for is that you would guard our hearts, that we would keep the message of hope in our hearts throughout this entire day. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.